This morning I'm going to continue on. If the Lord, with the Lord's help and in our teaching through the Ten Commandments, and this was all brought about from my thoughts about the morality of man and the world that we live in today and the importance of a good, solid foundation of morals. And I believe that that's what was brought out and taught in these commandments that God gave His people. As we look at this morning, we're going to look in the 20th chapter and the 12th verse. The 12th verse of the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. I guess you could say this would be more for the kids this morning than adults, maybe. But I don't know. We'll see. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Honor thy father and thy mother. I'm going to turn over also into the book of Ephesians in the 6th chapter. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. For your reading, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that thou may be well, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." As we think about these things that was said here, this it says in this right here that it was the first commandment given with promise. With this commandment was given a promise that if those children that grew up, if they honored and obeyed their parents, that there was something that was going to be given to them, that they may be well with thee, that thou may live long. So there was a promise that was given to those children that were to honor and obey their parents. There was a promise given in this writing here. You know, last Sunday night, we've also been teaching on Sunday nights on our church covenant. We taught on our church covenant last week, and we taught about to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances. One of the things that we taught on and that we brought out, and I feel that needs to be mentioned and said today, is the importance of having God in the home. God needs to be in the home. He needs to be present in the home. Now, I know what we're looking at here this morning, it's speaking to the children. But there's something that comes first. The Bible teaches us in many, many, many different places in here, and we're going to get into some of it. We're going to look at several verses in the book of Proverbs. You know that it says to train up a child in the way, and when he gets old, he'll come back to it. There's a thing about a responsibility as a parent that we have to train, to teach. The word train here, it has a lot of different meanings. It means to teach, to punish, to correct, to do whatever you need to do to get your child to understand what's right and what's wrong. And it's hard for us to do that if we don't know what God's Word says about it. You can look in the world we live in today, and it's so polluted with philosophies and self-helps and read along 10-step programs of this is how you can do this and this and this. God's Word lays it out real clear for us. He gave us a blueprint on life. He gave the parents a blueprint on life of how to raise their children. He gave the blueprint to the parents of how to act and to how to live in front of their children. How to live a godly life in front of them. And to be the example that they need to be so when they're growing up, they're going to see it and they're going to mimic the actions and they're going to follow the actions of the parents and do like the parents do. All these things giving them a foundation as they grow older. And as they grow older, they're getting this foundation through watching. There's more thing that is caught than taught. That's what Brother Benyon always used to say. There's more that's caught than taught. They're going to see you. They're going to see you doing stuff. And guess what? When they see you do something, they're going to assume that it's okay. They're going to hear you say something, whatever it might be, and when you say that, they're going to assume that's okay for me to say. So there's a lot more that's caught than taught, and it's important. It's pretty plain and forward to the point here in this verse that children obey your parents of the Lord, for this is right. Honor and obey. Obey is an action. Honor is an inward action. Honor is something that we do from the heart. You know, we want to do right. But to obey is actually to perform the action. When somebody says, thou shalt not steal, then you don't go steal something. Don't lie. Don't do all these things that's laid out in simple forms here in these commandments when they're laid out as a foundation of the moral background that this world needs, that the children that's growing up in this world today, that they need and have to have according to God's Word. Not according to me, but according to God's Word. It's what they have to have. We look over in the, and I read this also Sunday night. In Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, it says, starting in the 4th verse, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently. Thou shalt teach them, now speaking to the adults, the mothers and the fathers, to the children, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk to them when thou sittest down in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So basically this is saying, God needs to be in your home. When you go to bed, you sit down at the supper table. When you get up for breakfast in the morning, God needs to be there. He needs to be present in our lives, in our families. That thou bind them for a sign upon thine hand, that thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes. Frontlets, basically. Little box that they wore, that they wrote down the Ten Commandments on a piece of paper, and they folded it up and they put it in that little box, and they wore that on their head. That's what it's referring to. So basically having the commands of God before us throughout our day and whatever we do and whatever we're saying or doing, that's what it's referring to. Having God before us in each and everything that we do. It's important that we teach our children and that we do the things that we should do. To train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I think that's Proverbs 22:6. 22:15 says, Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. We live in a world today that they don't believe in whippings. They don't believe in whipping the child or correcting them when God's Word says plainly that that's what should be done. If a child needs it, and I'm not talking about abuse, please. I'm not talking about overdoing it and hurting. Well, it hurt me when I was growing up. I know I got it. It was hard enough that I remembered it. And I thought twice about doing what I was going to do the next time for consequences of what I remembered feeling. But was it child abuse? Absolutely not. The Bible teaches us that if you love your child, you will chasten them. You will punish them. If you don't love them, just let them grow up and do whatever they want to and act however they want for their entire life. That's what the Bible teaches. It says if you love them, you will punish them, though. That you will correct them, that you'll teach them what is right and what is wrong. And that you'll make them do that. You will train them in what is right and what is wrong. Do we see that in the world and in the society we live in today? It's out of control, isn't it? Why is it so out of control? It's because there's a world and a generation of parents that never punished their children. They never thought that they ever did anything wrong. Everything was okay, was all right, it was fine. Just whatever little Johnny, little Susie wants, just pet them and give them whatever they want. And then they get to a certain point that they have no respect for their parents or nobody else. But it started in the home. You can't blame it on the preacher. You can't blame it on the school teachers. You can't blame it on the government, the world. It started in the home. That's where it started. That's where it should start, and that's where it should end. In the home. That's where I wish there was a lot of people could hear this. It ain't nothing. It's not rocket science. I can figure it out. It's not rocket science. It's just plain and simple. You think about, first of all, as a child, we're born into this world. Since the fall of Adam, what is in the nature of every person that's ever been born into this world since Adam? Sin, right? It's in our nature. It's in our ways. And the Bible says that it's in us from our birth, from the moment that we are born. That we come forth from our mothers speaking lies. If the Bible says that we are doing that, that it teaches that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that God is no respecter of person, all these different things that the Bible teaches of depraved nature of a human being until they have been saved by God's grace, what do we expect people to act like? What do we expect little children to do? Do we not expect them to get into trouble and to do things they're not supposed to do? Absolutely. They're going to do it. They're going to try us and they're going to test us and they're going to do whatever they can get away with. I know I did when I was a kid. I did everything that I thought I could get away with. And then sometimes a little bit more. And then got a lot of whippings too. I got a lot.
But it's a parent's responsibility to train, to teach them. It's not something... I fear that we live in a society today that is allowing the televisions and the TV shows and all these things to raise the children in the world. Here, sit down in front of this TV and watch this show and be quiet while I go do whatever I want to do. You know, it takes time. First of all, it takes time to know. You got as an adult, we need to read and study God's Word to be able to know what His Word says so we can do it. That takes time right there. And then to follow through and to watch and do.
Kids, young adults, they have to have boundaries. They have to have guidelines. They have to have rules. Paul said the law was a schoolmaster to him. It taught him what he could do and what he could not do. Without rules, with just anything goes, any way, any shape, form, or fashion, there's no rules before of you. There's no moral foundation. There's no respect for yourself or nobody else in your life. And that's a lot of the attitudes of the world that I see today. No respect. It's all about me. It's about what I want. And I don't care how I get it or who gets in my way. It's all about me. Whereas an attitude of somebody that's been raised to honor and respect, they're going to do that. You know? When they go out, when these kids grow up that's been taught to honor and obey their parents, when they go out into the workforce and their boss tells them that they want this done and they want it done this way, you know, they're going to have honor and respect for him and they're going to try to do that. It goes all the way through life, these things, these foundational base things that's taught in the home go all the way through life. In everything that we do. Let's look at some verses. I mean, we can look in Proverbs. It is just crammed full of the things that... teachings to raise a child. First verse here in this first chapter. Seventh verse. We won't read all. Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent not with them. Don't go out and run with anybody in the world. Don't go out and run with the wrong crowd. If they say, come with us, let us lay in wait for blood. Let us look privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance and we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot amongst us. Let us all have one purse. Does that sound like a gang to you? Does that sound anything like a gang that you read about and all this stuff going on today? That's what it does to me. Sounds just like a gang, doesn't it? It says, don't do that. My son, walk not thou in the way of them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They work privately for their own lives. You know? We can turn on over in the second verse. My son, if thou... Second chapter, first verse. My son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, thou shalt... Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Wow. Isn't that talking about instruction for somebody that's lost that they can find the Lord? The knowledge of God. We speak here of an experimental knowledge of knowing that you know that you've been saved by God's grace. Those songs we sing about going to heaven. The only way that you're going to ever see heaven is to have that experimental knowledge and to know that and understand it. And that teaching starts in the home. It starts in the home. Or it's supposed to. The knowledge and the understanding that only the Holy Spirit of God can give us when we have been saved by His grace. There's a knowledge and understanding that the world has, and then there's a spiritual knowledge and understanding that all those that have been saved by God's grace have. And there's a difference. Hoping that everybody would be saved. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for righteousness. He is the buckler of them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path. Spiritual understanding, spiritual knowledge. When the Lord saves your soul, you have the Lord to help you understand what's right and what's wrong, is what this is saying. God can direct you down the path that you need to go on if you pray and ask Him to help you and direct you to give you the right choices, the right decisions. He can help you and He will. He wants to help you. I mean, this whole book of Proverbs is just it's full of stuff. Fourth chapter, it says, "Hear ye, my children, the instruction of the father, and attend and know understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I am my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. And he taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." See, it was a very serious thing in the Old Testament Jewish law that, if there was a son or a father or son that did something to disobey his parents, his mother or his father, that he could be literally judged and taken out and stoned. For disobeying, for being a disobedient. And that's in the book of Leviticus. For being disobedient to their parents. It is a very serious thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. See, it's important that at a young age that children learn to fear the Lord. They need to know the fear of the Lord. They need to understand God's in control. They need to understand also that mom and daddy look to God for instruction and guidance. They look to God's word for His truth and how to handle situations and do what's right before God. The kids need to know that. This is not something to be done in secret in a back room, hiding from somebody. This should be open. Children should be able to see their parents reading and studying God's Word. We have to train because of the sin nature. It's just the way we are. It's the way the Lord set it up. Worldly influences, This is Satan's world that we live in. It's impossible to go without the influences of Satan in the world that we live in. We live in a world today where the kids decide no parental authority, punishment. As far as punishment goes, I mean, there's children that sue their parents for making them to do things, to go to church, or for whipping them, or for, so the children suing the parents. We live in a world today that the moral system is so topsy-turvy, upside down, that everybody has equal rights, this, that, and the other. Well, God said that these children are a gift. That kids are a gift. They're to be loved, and they're to be trained, and they're to be taught in the ways of God. They're a gift from God. That's the reason it says only those that don't love them, don't punish them, and don't train them. I've got a lot of verses this morning. I just want to read these though. This is important. This is important. The base, the foundation of the church is built up from the family. And when Satan gets involved in the family, he destroys the church from within. He destroys the family. He breaks it all down. It's so important. We've seen and lost so many of our children to Satan and the influences of this world. We're losing the battle. The only way the tides will ever turn is if we turn them. We put the foot forward to do what we got to do to make things right. That's it. It don't change by itself. So much that I could say, but I think that's got a lot more. But this is, it's the bottom line. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. It's a command given by God with a promise that if you'll do that, if you'll listen to what your parents say and do what your parents say, that He'll bless you. Parents, great responsibility. Do not provoke your children to anger. You know, you can talk about the kids all day long and what they do wrong and everything else, but it says in that fourth verse, parents, do not provoke your children to anger. Yes, children has to be punished. They have to be trained. They have to be corrected. But it should be done in the right way. It should be done out of love to see them grow up and do better. To be a more godly person. It's not to have an iron fist hammer of authority upon them. But it's for their own good that they listen. So many different things that, you know, I guess if we got into the lists of reasons of why or how that we could provoke our children to anger, it'd be a pretty big list, wouldn't it? Many times I think we know within ourselves, and I know there's none of us perfect. I've made mistakes, you've made mistakes, but when we make mistakes, let's try to correct it the next time and do better. We need to love our children. Our children need to love us. And I believe if we do what we need to do as families, then our churches will stay around, and I believe they'll grow, and I believe they'll prosper, and I believe that there will be a power in the church that draws the lost people in, that they can hear about Jesus and be saved by His grace. It don't just come from behind the pulpit. It starts at home. Godliness in family life starts at home. God bless all of y'all this morning. I love you. Not pointing fingers at anybody. If I did, I'd be pointing them right back at me. But please, this is very, very important. Take these things to heart. Not because I said it, because God's Word said it. All I'm going to say this morning, said enough. Be a thought or a word on anyone's heart this morning.
God, appreciate the message.
Bible tells us that, you know, it can be corrected. Things can be corrected, but, you know, in one household, it says it goes into the third and fourth generation that suffers. Third and fourth generation. It is important. It sure is important this morning. Anything else on anyone's heart? I know I haven't, may not have said anything here that was news to anybody. If I hadn't, good. It's something that we just need to be reminded of. We need to be reminded of it. Fall hearts, minds free. I'll stand and we'll be dismissed. Yeah. Got a conference meeting tonight. If you can at all, please come back tonight. Do the business of the Lord. Brother Terry, would you dismiss us?